Whew, thank you. Something is coming and something is here. So, I just want to ask you a question just to start with. You know, is it me or has like life ratcheted up a notch lately? You know, it just seems like so much is going on for all of us, everyone I know. And I think it's like the universe is saying the grace period is over. It's time to live your gifts. It's time to live your mission. It's time to do what you're here to do and follow that inner voice. But, you know, I don't think we get that message in the world. And I think that, and by the way, I think that's what all the crazy times are for. They're here so that we will finally listen to that inner voice. But the world tells us that there are conventional ways to succeed, right? There's a right way and a wrong way. And what I want you to know is there's an inspired way. There's your way. So I'm going to just tell you a little story. I was touring on my first book, This Time I Dance, Creating the Work You Love. And I was back east. This was years ago. And I was visiting an aunt of mine, and she lives in Florida. And she was asking me what I do, and I was telling her about, oh, I talk about unleash your calling and finding your passion and all that stuff. And she interrupts me right away, and she says, oh, my God, Tammy, I know exactly what you mean. We told your cousin Ronnie all the time, follow your heart. You could be a doctor or a lawyer. Follow your heart. Is that not great? You have to be related to that, right? So I'm here to tell you, you have more than two options. Just saying, all right? So I want to talk about what stops us from following our hearts, from following our genius, from following our good, from following that spirit inside us that we all know is there, right? And here's what I know. If you are not listening to your own inner voice, if you're not listening to your own truth, you're listening to someone else, right? Who are you listening to? Maybe you're listening to the voice of the culture. Maybe you're listening to the voice of the media. Maybe you're listening to an educator. Maybe you're listening to one of your parents. For me, I was listening to my mother. You know, I knew early on when I was younger that I wanted to write. I loved creative writing. I fell in love with it in school. I was really excited about it. The creative writing teacher was gorgeous. So clearly this was a sign. You know, this was good, right? You know, so I went home to share my fabulous news with my family that I'd found my calling. And I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Yay, Brooklyn, before it was cool. I grew up in Brooklyn. My family was Orthodox Jewish. And so if you came home and you said, I found my calling, I want to be a writer, this wasn't good news. Like, nobody said mazel tov, you know? Nobody, right? You know, I basically could have said, wow, I found my calling, I want to sell crack. I found my calling. I want to sell my body to the night. My mother would have heard it the same exact way. You know, because for her, drug addicts, prostitutes, creative people. All the same boats. All the same boats, right? Let's face it. We're all going to live under the same bridge. Let's be real. You know? That's how she heard it, right? So she was like, you're going to write? You're going to write? You are going to starve, you're going to write. And that was the go for your dreams talk. That was basically the essence of it, right? You know. And then my mother, being a reasonable woman, said something like, what? You can't get a job and you'll write on Sundays, right? The reasonable plan. And most of us got this reasonable plan, didn't we? Most of us heard, be reasonable, be practical. Don't do what you love. Don't do what moves you. Don't do what inspires you. Don't do what's calling to you. Stay safe. Be practical, right? And I travel around the country speaking right now because what I want you to know is the safest thing you are ever going to do with your whole life is listen to your spirit. That is the only safety we've got right now, I think. And it's the best safety. It's the only thing we need, right? You follow what you love. You follow where you're turned on. You follow where you're moved. That's where your safety is. But I didn't know any of that back then, and I took the party line, and I went off to law school. And I got accepted to Harvard Law School. And I graduated with honors from Harvard Law School, and I was on partnership track in a major law firm. And as you might imagine, my mother was very proud. She was very proud. She was bragging in every synagogue for all she was worth. You know, it was like, oh, my little girl, let me, I don't want to tell you, let me tell you. Right? So, and you may have had this situation in your life where you're doing something that looks right to other people, and it looks right. Everybody tells you it's the right thing. You should be doing this. This is a good path. But you feel empty. But you feel disconnected. It doesn't feel right to you. So I was at this partner, you know, I was on partnership track in this law firm, and I feel like I'm dying. You know, the more I'm succeeding one way externally, the more I'm dying and disconnected. Because when you feel like there's got to be something else, there's got to be something more, when you feel like there's got to be something more, it's because there is. It's because we know it. We know it in our bones. We know what we came here to do. And it takes so much courage to finally listen to that. Right? So thank God. I was getting really, really depressed at the time and really depressed and just not wanting to be here anymore and just really feeling checked out from my job. And thank God a friend of mine said something amazing. He said, think about it, Tam. If you've been this successful doing something you don't love, what could you do with what you love? Right? And so that's what I'm here talking about with us. What could we do with something we love? So I finally got the guts. I finally left that job, and I walked out, and I decided, you know what? You get one life. I want to know where this goes. I want to see where this goes for me. So that's what started my whole journey with this. So I want to just read you a passage from Inspired and Unstoppable. And basically, it's about how you know, we think it's realistic to hold back our power. We think it's realistic to be safe and to be practical. And again, what I'm trying to encourage us to know is we are the new safety. We are the people who are using new faculties, and there are new powers. So I'm just going to read this to you briefly. There is nothing wavy gravy about believing in your wildest dreams. Your inspired inner voice is as real as bunions or a bouillon soup. It's not putting your head in the sand to believe in a higher intelligence than mass consciousness. It's putting your head in the game. Love is the strongest power on the planet. You want results? Trust your inspired self. It's a presence and intelligence that dwarfs everything else. So that's what I want to talk about, is how do we listen to that inspired self? Or what stops us from doing that? And one thing I know, because I do coaching for a living, and so I coach entrepreneurs and artists and visionaries and people who have businesses, and the thing that I see all the time is that they believe and they're excited and they're moved, and then at some point they stop believing. When things start faltering or when they start failing, it's because they stop believing. Some part of them hit something and stop believing. So that's what I want to talk about, is there are going to be all these times in your life where there are going to be choice points. And the choice point is going to be, do I listen to love or do I listen to fear? Do I listen to love or do I listen to fear? Because what's going to happen, you're going to get excited, you're going to believe in something, whatever you're doing in your life, and then you're going to hit a wall. Right? Then you're going to hit a bump or a burp, and then all of a sudden, that's going to be the choice point. What do I listen to inside myself? Do I listen to my love or do I listen to my fear? So when I walked out of law, I decided I wanted to write, and I explored writing, and I'll cut to the chase, and I decided to write a book. And I spent 12 years writing my first book. I spent 12 years writing my first book. At this point in the discussion, most people get depressed. You know, most people start thinking, oh, I liked her till she said that. You know, shit. Oh, well, now it's over, I guess. You know, whatever. I don't got that kind of time. And so, Yeah, I know. And so, for me, what I want to clarify is that I think it took me 11 years to heal, 11 years to believe in myself, 11 years to trust, 11 years to trust this inspired power, this God, this love, this genius inside, you know, and really trust this stuff, and 1 year to write a book, right? So I think if you've got a lot, you know, if things haven't taken off the way you want, it's because we're doing a lot all at once. We're not just doing one thing. We're changing our whole lives from the inside out. That's a bigger journey. So anyway, one day I'm following my bliss. I'm writing this book for 12 years. I don't have an agent. I don't have a contract. I don't have a publisher. I'm believing in this journey, and I walk into this bookstore, and there is a brand new book on exactly my topic. Yeah. You know, and you know how that is when you start comparing yourself to someone and you think, oh my God, why am I even trying? You know, why am I even bothering? I look at the book. It's got 1,000 endorsements, somebody famous. I'm unknown. Nobody's paying me to write, you know. And you're thinking, oh, my God, why am I even bothering? So I have, like, a total meltdown in the bookstore. I just start, like, freaking out inside myself. And I'm hearing this other inner voice that just starts saying, you're following an inner voice. You know, Hitler heard an inner voice. You know? Charlie Manson probably heard an inner voice. You could just be a nut, you know? And so I'm just having this, like, total freak out in the bookstore. And, you know, and thank God it's in the self-help section. So they're like, oh, here's a little bench, honey. You know, like, here, sit here. You know, so that night I decided I think I'm going to give up. I think this is too hard. You know, you've been there, right? You know, those moments where you just think, this is too hard. I, you know, I'm going after a pipe dream. Why am I bothering? This is too hard. And I start thinking about that. And thank God this other voice kicks in. I start journaling because I journal when I'm crazy. And I start journaling, and this voice just keeps saying, no, you have to trust. That's right. You just have to trust. You have to trust. That's all it keeps saying. You have to trust. You just have to trust. It just keeps saying that over and over. And then what it says is, what's it going to feel like at the end of your own life to know you had this dream, you had this desire, you had this knowing, you had this feeling, and you stopped yourself, right? Because it's like, well, it's one thing for us to be stopped by the world and stopped by the world. It's a whole other thing when we stop ourselves. Right? And so for me, that's the choice point. Do you listen to fear or do you listen to love? Because fear, unfortunately, will often sound like practicality. It will sound like good judgment. It's just good judgment to give up. Just good judgment to think you're a piece of crap and you're never going to do this. That's just good judgment. Right? I mean, like, we do this to ourselves, right? But love is going to be the voice that says, but there's a reason you feel called. There's a reason this dream is coming to you. There's a reason it won't let go. So that's going to be the choice point. So the other thing I wanted to share with you is that it's something I teach in all my workshops, all my classes. I brand it on my clients' foreheads if I can. It's often the times where, you know how, like, you're thinking, but I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to do things. I don't know how to figure out my life. I don't know how to get from A to B to C to D. I just don't know how to do that. And what I want you to know, you can't plan an inspired life. You can't plan an inspired life. You can figure out, map out a smaller life. You can do that, and other people will help you. But you be glad to help you, right? But you can't plan an inspired life. This is going to be the life of listening to that inspired voice within you moment by moment by moment. And again, it takes so much courage for all of us to do that. So my best example of this is when I finally finished writing that first book, you know, and I thought, okay, what do I do with this? How do I get it in the world? What do I do? So I'm reading all kinds of books on commercial publishing and self-publishing and all kinds of stuff and researching, and I keep hearing this inner voice, and all it keeps saying is, just put it in the river. Just put it in the river. Isn't that pretty? What the hell does that mean? Are you kidding me? I mean, it's like not hard enough to hear inner voices, and now mine talks in metaphors, you know? And I now live in Denver, Colorado, and I will just cut to the, there are no rivers. Okay, it's not even literal, right? It's not saying, you know, put your manuscript in water, you know? I mean, just, and by the way, I always tell this story, and different readers at different times at book signings have sometimes said, oh, maybe the voice meant put it on Amazon, you know? That was clever. But I knew intuitively when it was saying, just put it in the river, it just meant like, you know what? Just put it in the stream of life. Just get it out there some way, somehow. If it's supposed to go somewhere, it's going to go somewhere, right? And so I knew for me that that meant self-publishing. And that was terrifying because I didn't know anything about marketing. I didn't know anything about publicity. I didn't, you know, now I'm putting my own money into it. It's like so going the wrong way, you know? It's like... But I just kept feeling like, okay, I'd listened to that voice for 12 years already. I might as well continue to listen to it, right? So I decided I was going to do it. And here's the thing. The second that you decide that you're going to listen to your inner voice, the second you decide you're going to listen to that inspired presence within you, the second you do it, you will meet the most judgmental person. They will be on you. The second you've decided, I'm going for my dream, I'm doing this, I don't know what the heck it is, I'm going to do this, they will be on you. You know, you've heard law of attraction. This is like law of detraction. You know, I don't know why, but it happens. So I don't know what possessed me to do this, but I went to an ex-boyfriend's house for a Passover dinner. I don't know what was coming over me to do this, but I sat next to this woman who was my mother on steroids. And all night long, she's doing Dianu, and she's, you know, she's drinking bad wine all night long, and she starts grilling me the whole night. She's like, so you're going to publish a book, and you know nothing about marketing, and you know nothing about distribution, and you're putting your own money into this. You are very ambitious, right? Which you know is code for you're a nut, you know? You're a nut. Get away from my kids now, right? You know that language. And I don't know if you know the Passover ceremony is all about the exodus of the Jews. I related to that service like I have never, ever related. The whole night I'm thinking, let my people go. Let my people go. Let them go, baby. Whole night. So I'm thinking, so she's grilling me, what are you going to do, what are you going to do? And I'm starting to think, what do I tell this woman? Do I tell her that my plan, my publishing plan is, I'm going to put it in a river? Is this what I tell her? Or do I tell her, don't worry, I've been hearing an inner voice for 12 years. It's really nice. Right? I mean, you know how like in rooms like this, we're actually encouraging each other to stay supported and believe in an inner voice and trust what we know within, and you start talking to a normal person, and that sounds crazy, right? So so anyway, I will tell you, I finally got the guts, and I self-published that first book, and I put it out there, and it was amazing because I had my first reading at a local bookstore in Denver that was very kind, and I had almost 200 people show up at my first reading. It was amazing, and granted, I had been begging a lot of people, but thank you. Thank you. I had almost 200 people, and my inner voice the whole time was going, did you think I'd mess around? I told you I would take care of you. Right, but you never believe that, right? So, but it started spreading through word of mouth, through it hit the Denver Post bestseller list, then it hit the business bestseller list. It was just starting to spread through word of mouth. And then 4 months after I self-published, I got the most amazing email I've ever gotten. And it literally and truly said, your fairy godmother has arrived. Your fairy godmother has arrived. Now, if you got an email like, your fairy godmother has arrived, you would probably think it was spam, right? I mean, right? You would probably think it's going to be Russian girls are waiting for you. You know, make her happy tonight. You know, I mean, just, I don't know. You know, it's going to be, it's not going to be what you think, right? But I open it up, and it was an email from a vice president of marketing and publicity for Random House. And she was going through a major career transition of her own, and she somehow found my self-published book. And she wrote to me and said, "This is the best book I have ever read on finding your calling and doing your dreams, and I love this book, and I want to help you get it published by a major New York house," which to me was like saying, "I want to help you meet God." You know, I mean, that was basically it, because if I could have chosen God or the publisher, I would so do the publisher. But at that time. But anyway, she got it to the president of the publishing company I had always, always wanted. It was Tarcher, part of Penguin, one of the big houses. And they bought the book. And they bought the book. Not only did they buy the book, they bought the book exactly the way that it was. They kept the exact writing. I literally had to change maybe 10 sentences out of the entire book. They kept the exact title. I had designed it in purple because I didn't know what I was doing, and I like purple. So they kept the purple. You know, it was amazing. As an unknown writer, had I gone the conventional way, I would never have ended up where I ended up. As an unknown writer, I would never have ended up where I ended up. But that's what I mean when I say you can't plan an inspired life. You can't plan that. How is I going to plan that I'm going to have a meltdown for 12 years, some other woman's going to have a meltdown at the end of 12 years, we're going to hook up, and that's my business plan. That's what I got going for me. That's what I got going on, right? No biz, no bank is going to go, "Wow, sounds good to us, Ms. Caves. We'll be signing off on that," right? So I always used to end my talks with that story because it's such a great story and it's really uplifting. And by the way, what I want you to know, that's not a special story for me. That's a story for all of us. I deeply believe we all have an inspired plan, and again, it's about following it. And just because you don't have a plan in your mind and you can't see how it's going to work out doesn't mean there isn't a plan. But it's about following that voice that's inside you moment by moment. And there's something in this moment that you know, right? So I used to end with that talk, with that story, because I like that story a lot. I love that story. happen to like it a lot. But what I want to end with is what I call a Wednesday morning story. And what I mean by that is, you know, you come to something like this on Sundays and you get pumped up. We all get pumped up together. We all start believing again, whatever. And then you're alone with your mind for a little bit, you know, like during the week, you know, it starts fading. And by Wednesday, it's kind of dicey. I don't know about you, but, you know, like, I'm jonesing for an inspired hit at that point. And so what I want you to know is that on this journey, on an inspired journey, on a spiritual journey, you're supposed to lose it. You know, that we get excited and we get inspired and we know something and we believe something, and then you get scared. And then something happens that makes you not believe or gets you disconnected. And I think a lot of us start thinking, well, I must be doing this wrong then, or this must not be working for me, or I'm not saying the right affirmation, or whatever it is. And I think what I want you to know is that this journey is supposed to be up and down and up and down and up and down. And the reason is we are here to practice. And we are here to choose again and choose again and choose again, to choose that love again and to make it stronger each time and stronger each time. Because what you know when you're inspired, that's what's true about you. That's who you really are, and that's what's true about you. Everything else is what we need to practice. Everything else is the fear, and we need to choose again, and we need to choose again. So when I wrote Inspired and Unstoppable, when I used the word unstoppable, I didn't mean it like Tony Robbins, like, unstoppable, walk on fire, right? That's not me. I'm very timid. and, you know, for me, what unstoppable meant was, I'm not going to stop myself in my own lifetime. I'll give myself 1,000 chances and 1,000 more and 1,000 more, but I will not be the person who stops myself in my own lifetime. So I want to just tell you a brief story of before any of this, what when I was much younger, I dreamed about being a writer and I dreamed about being a speaker. And one day I was shopping in a thrift store and I saw my destiny. I saw my destiny on the rack. It was this three-piece purple silk pantsuit. And I thought, oh my God, That's what a speaker would wear. Oh my God, I must have that outfit. And by the way, this is in the 80s, so the shoulder pads are out to here. So you could play for the NFL if you needed to. But anyway, I bought this thing, and it hung in my closet, right? And you may have had this experience where you believed in something, you wanted something, you invested in something, and then it didn't happen, right? And then it didn't happen. Like maybe you went to a dating site, or maybe you joined for a gym, or you were going to do all these things, these great dreams, and then it didn't happen. So that outfit sat in my closet, in the back of my closet for years, right? And it had this plastic coating on it because I never used it. I never got to use it. And pretty soon in the back of my closet, every time I saw it, I'd like wince, you know, when I saw it. You know, you'd start feeling embarrassed or ashamed that you had believed in something, that you had wanted something. And so the outfit began to kind of like moan at me. It started to be like, you loser, loser. You know, you believed you were going to be a famous speaker. You know, you watched Oprah too much. You know, just... And it was really, really sad because we do this to ourselves where we dared to believe in something and then just because it didn't happen the way we thought, we start giving up on it. And so there came a moment when I realized I need to get this outfit out of here. I'm never going to wear it, right? You know, I'm never going to wear it. It's years later. And I'm so proud of this moment because I gave up on that outfit, but I didn't give up on the dream. You know, I gave up on the timing, but I didn't give up on the desire. You know, I gave up on the form of how it was going to happen because you have all those voices saying, well, it should have happened by now if it was going to happen, and you're too old, and other people made it, and blah, 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 right? And so I'm so proud that I gave up on the form of that, but not the fire. And that's what I'm going to ask us to do as a group together, is to think maybe about what's your purple pantsuit? You know, like what's the thing that you've been tempted to give up on or you don't believe in or at some point you start doubting that it can ever work? And can we as a group hold this together to choose again? To choose again in this moment to, like Britt said earlier, to be willing. You know, just to be willing, even if we don't know how, but to be willing that maybe I am called for a reason. Maybe my dreams are there for a reason. Can we choose again in this moment? Because the Course in Miracles says something phenomenal. It says you can put your faith in faith, or you can put it in faithlessness, but you will be putting it somewhere, right? You can put your faith in faith, or you can put your faith in faithlessness, but you are always putting it somewhere. I'm going to ask all of us today, somewhere, somehow, today, in this incredible space being together, just to choose again, to allow yourself in your own mind to say, I'm open to that happening. I'm open to that dream again. So I want to end with one of my favorite quotes in the world. It's attributed to Jesus from the Gnostics, and it talks about this inner power, and it basically says, if you bring forth that which is within you, that which is within you will save you. If you do not bring forth that which is within you, that which is within you will destroy you. It's a little gift of guilt from my people. Thank you. Thank you so, so much. Thank you. 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 I want to say one thing. Thanks.
Tamma, thank you so much. Thank you so much for inspiring us today, for sharing yourself. Are you feeling inspired? Are you feeling ready to acknowledge just how blessed you are? We do this every week. And today, let's be willing to take it deeper, to really know the blessings that are within us, that are around us, that we are. Just take in a breath and let it go. And we use this song to prepare us to go even deeper during this time together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. And I allow this truth to sink even deeper. Blessed for all that I have, even if it's a purple pantsuit hanging in the closet. What a beautiful reminder that we are always at choice. That our faith is always active. And that we are creating life from within, from the inside out. Not from the outside in. From the inside out, right where we are. And the safest place you can ever be is where Spirit is. That deep, deep connection. Is always simply waiting to speak, waiting for our permission, waiting for us to listen. Sometimes the voice wants to disguise itself. Listen to that voice of God that is within. If you are God, speak up. And if you are not, hush. Tell fear, you are not welcome here. This is our true inner compass that guides our way. You have everything you need. Everything you need right here, right now, within you. To build, to create, to live. Life of your dreams, to live love. In the silence, without any effort, just listen. Listen to that inner voice.